Good morning, everybody.
We have an email from Ralph and Donna Hudson from Garner, North Carolina. They said, "Hey, Mac and Daisy, quick note to let you know that my bride." Okay, so this is from Ralph. To let you know that my bride and I have been MyPillow customers since before they became your sponsor. But we wanted to support you and we hadn't ordered the slippers. So we got all four choices with the code
CHICKS.
Now they've arrived and we love them. In total, we've got five pillows, two sheet sets, two artsy pillowcases, a mattress cover, a bathrobe, two sets of towels, and now four pairs of footwear. And all of it is top notch. Love your daily videos. Keep up the good work. Your fans, Ralph and Donna Hudson. And he is a vet, by the way. So thank you for your service.
Thank you so much for your service, Ralph. And thank you for doing that. You're ordering all the MyPillow stuff. That's so sweet.
I know. And he used code CHICKS just to make sure that he was supporting us as well. And that is something that we so appreciate. He's right about everything being amazing from MyPillow. It's the slippers, all the pillows, obviously, the towels, the sheets, all of it. No matter what you get, it's so awesome. I cannot stress it enough.
Especially the dog bed. Especially
yes, the dog beds are awesome
when you run out of like space in your cabin and your dogs are laying on the couches and everything else. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to lay on the dog bed. And you realize that the dog bed is more comfortable than the couch. That's when it's an aha moment that MyPillow is awesome. Seriously.
And you can have your own aha moment if you call 1-800-875-0513 or go to MyPillow.com and use the code
CHICKS.
Do it right now.
Do it.
I mean, not right now, but like maybe
just 20
minutes from now.
Yeah. 25.
All right. Should we start with Joe and his broken brain?
Yeah.
Because
he's got a broken brain.
So there were yesterday during the radio show, we played probably five different clips of Joe Biden at the G7, just sounding like a complete moron. So there was like the clip that was running around yesterday where he could not keep up with the difference between Libya and Syria, like three different times he got those countries confused.
Who can keep up with that, Mock? Who can keep track? Who can?
Right.
Can do that. Yeah.
It was really, 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 really bad. But then yesterday, he had a press conference, which is amazing, right? Like, how often does he do that? Never. So everyone was really excited. He was holding a presser, and I think it was either right after or right before his meeting with Putin. And he was 3.5 hours late for his own presser. No explanation from the White House, none given, not whatsoever. I mean, I'm assuming he was napping and they just couldn't rouse him. I don't know that for sure.
Napping, or it makes you wonder. It really does. I mean, seriously, in all seriousness, it does make you wonder why he was that late.
Think about it, you guys.
Yeah, it's really late. I mean, if you were that late for something for your job, what would happen to you? Like, people would be like, what in the world is going on with this person? And or you would just, I mean, you can't do it. You can't be 3 hours late to something.
No.
You just can't do it.
And it's disrespectful to other people's time. I mean, I just hate that.
But it does make you wonder what the heck was going on. Like, why was he that late?
We don't know. They never gave an answer. So the clip that's really getting a lot of play right now and the clip where you can actually watch his brain break is when there was a reporter that was asking him something about, you know, you called Putin a killer before, you know, do you still mean that? What do you say to Putin now? And there's just this really bizarre, weird, brain breaking moment.
Here we go.
To answer the first question, I'm laughing too. He has made clear that
it's breaking. Here, it's breaking. Right, it's cracking.
The answer is, I believe he is in the past essentially acknowledged that he was. There are certain things that he would do or did do. I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this next meeting we're about to have.
Oh, okay. What the hell was that? What was that?
And by the way, that was shortened for purposes of that clip. Like it was probably a good 20 seconds that
he just sat there.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody on a staff, like, cause he wears like a shock collar probably. And somebody on a staff was shocking him to make him remember that he was the president of the United States.
Stay with us, Joe.
Yeah. Just
you got this.
You got to answer the damn question, Joe. Good Lord.
Oh my God. And he only took five questions at his own presser. Five. And after waiting them wait, making him wait 3.5 hours, he took five questions.
Am I wrong about this? Or did he also like have a hand in who the press was? Because I mean, I know up to this point he has picked press. He has been able to say who the press is, who's asking him questions. I don't know about this particular situation, but I feel like his people had a hand in who was asking the question.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, he had his little note cards and
right.
he said, once again, I'm going to get in trouble if I don't call on who they told
right.
me to call on. He always is worried about getting in trouble. I'm like, dude, you are the commander in chief.
Right.
You don't need to worry about getting in trouble.
No, actually Jill is, don't you remember? Jill is.
Oh, that's right. She was preparing for the G7.
Mm-hmm. She was preparing for it. She should have been up there, right?
It's good. So embarrassing, though. Like,
his
weakness is just so fully on display, and it's just embarrassing. Oh my God, I can't even stand to watch it.
Yeah,
because it
shows how completely
ridiculous.
Right, it shows how completely weak we are.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh God. And there's so many videos like that. I cannot even tell you. There are so many.
Hey, it's the chicks here, Mock and Daisy, coming at you talking about AMAC.
AMAC, oh, how I love thee. Let me count the ways. Do you remember when, like, I was about to turn 50? It was probably a few months ahead of me turning 50, and all of a sudden, I get bombarded with crap from AARP.
Oh, I remember.
I was like, why you gotta remind me that I'm getting old?
Totally.
Why you gotta do that?
Totally remember. Yeah. And now you've got AMAC, which is an alternative to that. It's the fabulous alternative, which aligns with our values.
It does. And so right now we are big into cancel culture. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but like everybody is getting canceled.
Right.
And so I kind of think it's a nice way to fight back a little bit and cancel out AARP.
Yeah, I love
it too. Cancel AARP and get yourself some AMAC.
Mm-hmm. And you get yourself some really good discounts and really good member benefits for a really, really low price every year. Yeah, what you'd spend on like three lattes, you guys. So check it out. It's amac.us/chicks.
amac.us/chicks. Check them out today.
Hey, great news. Monica Lewinsky has a new gig. So
what's she doing?
Well, she's been a contributing editor for Vanity Fair for some time.
Right.
But now she is trying her hand at producing. Like, so she's 20th Television has signed her and her production company to a producing deal. She's a producer now.
Of like, what is she? Do we know what kind of stuff she's going to produce?
Well,
we know?
She is preparing the latest installment of the American Crime Story anthology series, Impeachment. She is the hands-on producer for that.
Okay.
And Clive Owen is going to be playing Bill Clinton. Edie Falco is Hillary. And Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp. We talked about that, remember? Because she had to like gain weight or put on like a fat suit or something. And then
and
people got mad that it wasn't a real fat person playing her.
And Monica's producing this?
Yeah.
Wow.
It comes out September 7th on FX.
That's crazy that she's actually producing it. I mean, because she obviously has a nice recollection of what happened during that era and what those people were like. So it's going to be very interesting. Yeah, I may actually watch that.
Well, and I love Clive Owen. I mean, he's such a good actor.
Yeah.
So it could be really interesting. You know, what was weird is that I can't remember where I saw the story. I wonder if I can find it, because where I saw the story about Monica Lewinsky, then when I clicked on the link, it took me to, you know, the article about it. And there was a beautiful photograph of her at the top of the article where she looked exactly like, do you remember in Dances with Wolves? The woman that played Kevin Costner's love interest.
Right, right, right.
She looked exactly like her.
She definitely has aged well.
I know.
She has.
Must be the Chamonix. Am I right?
She's totally using Chamonix, guys. Use code CHICKS.
Right. Anyway, so that's what Monica Lewinsky is doing, in case anybody was really worried and wondering about what she's doing.
It's very, very interesting. God, that's like so apropos for her to produce that. Wow.
I mean, good for her, man. She's had a,
yeah,
a life.
Right. It is interesting how she gets the raw end of that deal. She gets, you know, shunned from society basically for years. And then Bill is out walking around like, you know, nothing happened. Oh, by the way, Epstein, whatever happened with that?
I know.
Yeah. Right. Never hear about that, you guys.
Very exciting news for those of you out there who are Robin DiAngelo fans. And I know there's a lot of you. Am I right?
So many, you guys.
She's got a new book out, you guys.
What's it called? Is it just called Hate Yourself?
No, just Hate White People.
Okay.
Let's see. What is it called? It is called Nice Racism. How progressive white people perpetuate racial harm.
Oh, so now she's going after the progressives.
I mean, she kind of did already. Like in her first book, there were references about how progressives are to, you know, they're not exempt from the blame.
Which is why they hate themselves. So they bought into this. Yeah, they bought into this garbage and they were like, we're going to hate ourselves. And if we try to say that we're not buying into this, that just means that we are even that much more racist, kind of like what they bought into that whole line of thinking. Like there's no winning. It's circular. It's like I'm just a horrible, horrible racist person because I'm a person of power.
Right.
OK, so now she wrote a book that is what, just more of that, like an extension of that, basically.
Well, it says that she posits in this book that white liberal intellectual coastal progressives, the people who basically swarmed in droves to go buy her first book, are the most bigoted, the most harmful, and the greatest threat to racial equality. So this is probably not going to sell as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know what the point is. So like, say it did sell to those same people that she's targeting. Then what? It just is going to cause more self-loathing? What's the point? I don't understand.
You know what? Here's the weird thing, though. I kind of agree with her.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no question about it that they're the most racist.
They are the most racist. Those people are. Those coastal people, all those people that are, you know, in those areas that are so, you know, educated, and they think that they know better than everybody else, and they, you know, point their fingers at middle America, and they're like, those, you know, Bible-thumping people are all racist because they cling to their guns and their religion. Those are the people that are actually the racists, because they constantly talk about race. So I'm not really sure what's in her book, but just that one statement that you said seems pretty accurate.
So, yeah, she's.
Are you going to read it? Because I know you read her first one.
I read White Fragility because I felt like I just needed to understand the crazy. I'm not going to read this. I just because it just sounds like it's going to be more of the same bull
crap. Crazy. Yeah.
So she says that the onus is on white America to bring about structural and economic change, except that we can't, because since we are white, we can never change our intrinsic, unfixable, immutable reasons. And so it's basically a hopeless, circular, pointless argument. And I don't know why people pay her.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, I need to get a second home, you guys.
Right. So maybe she needs new homes.
Right.
She has a lot of homes.
I got a lot of homes. I got three homes. Stupid people. You guys are all suckers. All of you.
Very, very excited because we have, we were just talking about White Fragility, and everybody knows how much critical race theory is now starting to infiltrate our schools. And we have a brand new sponsor on board.
So excited.
This is pretty cool for parents out there or grandparents who are concerned about their kids and their grandkids' education. And you should be, because it doesn't even matter if you're in private school, public school right now, things are getting crazy, you guys. And the Freedom Project Academy is an online school. They've been around for 11 years and they've perfected virtual learning because it's all they do. And they actually have K-12 programming that can either supplement your homeschooling or your public or private school education, or it can replace it all together.
Yeah,
it is amazing. We talked to them yesterday, and what a fantastic
organization.
So, because there are a lot of people like that, you know, like me, because I there's no way I could stay home all day and homeschool. And so, you know, that's one of the questions I had was, could I just put it in your hands? And you could do that. So if you decide, oh my God, I can't deal with the public schools anymore, or private schools for that matter, because they're sucking now too. This is an option for you. They're fantastic, you guys. They elevate too. Like, kids will get in there. They don't dumb these kids down. I mean, they see what their, you know, what their level of learning is, and they up it. They amp it up. I mean, they're fantastic. So,
and their curriculum is actually old school. Like, mm-hmm. they are a private Christian school. They don't take a dime of federal money. Right. And they even require Latin still, which I love that. I thought that mm-hmm. was so cool that that's and one no, of the requirements.
No Common Core. Yeah,
no Common Core, mm-mm. no CRT, none of this liberal indoctrination bull crap. It right. is your traditional Christian Western education. I'm so excited that this is even like a thing that's available.
Yeah,
so this
it's
is
cool.
from Freedom Project Academy, and you can get all the information that you could ever want. If you just go to freedomforschool.com, you can get information from them and learn all about what they do.
Right.
And it's a very reasonable price, like much more reasonable than you might expect.
Right.
Tuition rates are surprisingly low, and the quality of education is stellar. So consider checking them out at freedomforschool.com.
That was great harmonizing.
You don't even have to use code
CHICKS. No, you don't.
But if you go and you get your information packet, there's a place underneath that says, hey, how did you hear about us? And it says CHICKS on the right, and you can click that. You can like click that little bubble and say, I heard about them from CHICKS on the right. That would be really nice if you did that. So,
okay.
All right. What else is going on? Oh, so you know the whole Ilhan Omar being an anti-Semitic sea hag hullabaloo?
Right. Well, I mean, that's just her in life. Basically
Did you hear Nancy Pelosi basically just say that this conversation is over and that there's not going to be any more formal rebuke of her and that she's explained herself and that's all that they can ask of her? Like,
does
they
that
keep
surprise
letting
you?
Her get away with this.
Yeah, does that surprise you at all? They're going to totally let her get, they're going to let her off the hook and let her off the, but this is with Democrats with everything though, right? I mean, this is with, I feel like this is all across the board, Mock. This doesn't surprise me with her. It doesn't surprise me with, it's like we were talking this morning before the show about Chuck Schumer, you know, saying that, can I say the word? Am I allowed to say the word?
Well, I mean, you're quoting him.
Okay. He said something about providing housing for retarded homeless children. Mm-hmm. And so he said that in a podcast, the other day. And people, you know, lost their minds for maybe half a millisecond. And then, and now it's like, and Mock this morning, she was like, oh, it's barely in the news. I'm like, yeah.
I didn't even know about this.
Right. I'm like, it's barely in the news because he's on the left. This is the thing. It's the people on the left have a whole different set of rules than the people on the right. This is it. If everybody can't see that by now, left people on the left included, then you are ignorant. You are willfully ignorant at this point. I mean, they have a different set of rules because imagine if Trump did that. Imagine if, I don't know, any congressperson or whatever on the right said that word. We would be talking about it for the next 5 days CNN and CNN and MSNBC would be their ticker. You would just be hearing about it nonstop because mm-hmm. he said that word. So, but you're not going to hear about it because, you know, it's Chuck Schumer. And so they're going to forgive him. Kind of like Nancy Pelosi will never say a word about this because she and Chuck Schumer are like, BFFs.
Oh, yeah.
But imagine if somebody on the right said it, Nancy would have some sort of a press conference. She would be like, oh my God, this is unacceptable. You can't say that. I'm a Christian woman. I'm going to pray for him or her. You know, she would be out of her mind about it. But this is the thing. They live by a different set of standards and rules than we have to. I hate that.
I know.
It's unacceptable.
It's so unfair. And he, you know, he came out and apologized. So that part happened, but that's it. I mean, that's all, you know, if you hear anything more about it today, I will be shocked because that was it. He said it. People freaked out for like a half a second. He apologized. Done. That's it. And that's just not how it works for people on the right. Now, if you're curious about our thoughts on the R word, you can read our book. There's like a whole entire chapter about that.
Exactly.
And if, you know, people have thoughts and they disagree with us about
that's fine.
Our thoughts, but
totally
you can
fine.
Get that book, Right for Reason, on Amazon.com.
The border crisis is endangering national security and empowering adversaries like communist China. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Congressman Tom Tiffany joins me to discuss his visit to the dangerous Darien Gap in Panama. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There was this great story about the Federal Reserve banning the term founding fathers.
Oh, my God.
I cannot. What is even happening?
Like, what are they?
Oh, my God.
What do they want? What do they want to replace it with? That's my question. Is there a replacement or they just want to get rid of it because they're offended because they're feels? Yeah. Everybody's feels.
Well, the thing is that they do, they want to replace it with all of those inclusive terms or right. not new pronouns necessarily, but they definitely want people to start in the Federal Reserve and other federal agencies. They want people to stop using biased terms, and they consider founding fathers to be a biased term.
Yeah, but they were all dudes. What are we supposed to, they were dudes.
I know.
What are we supposed to say? That's the thing. You can't. That's history.
See if they've given any suggestions.
What? There's no other way to describe them.
Oh, they said talk about that. It's fine to talk about our legacy, but not to say founding fathers. So our legacy founders, perhaps. Although that's not even their suggestion. I just sort of came up with that. To try to, because that's what they're saying. They don't want you to say founding fathers. They just want founders. They want the words like whitelisted to go away, manpower to go away. They want bias-free language is what they're calling it. Bias-free language.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's just the dumbest. It's so dumb. These people are so dumb. I feel like they have, I say this a lot, but they have way too much time on their hands. It's like, are people who have way too much. They need something to do. They need jobs. You know, it's like we were in restaurants in Louisiana all weekend, totally understaffed. We had to walk out of like three restaurants this weekend, literally walk out of them because we had to wait. There's too much going on. It's like, listen, we weren't mad at the restaurants. We're mad at the people because I'm mad at the country. Basically, I'm mad at these people in government who keep doling out money to people that should be out working. Frankly,
right.
That's who I'm mad at because, you know, I mean, this is the thing. It's not what was intended, but it's like, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Well, at some point, when does that all, I mean, I know there's a bunch of states who have said, we're not going to pay this extra unemployment money anymore, and they've stopped doing that. But isn't it coming to an end for everybody? Is it like next month sometime that the extra comes to an end?
I would hope so. But people, I don't know, though, Mark. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is in Indiana. There are so many people who are sitting at home and not working. And, you know, I guess these are the people who are, you know, I'm mad about this and I'm mad about that. It's like they have way too much time on there. They need to be freaking getting a job. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if there's going to be this huge rush then for jobs, towards the end of the summer when the money does dry up.
I don't know. I read a thing the other day that said just a lot of people have just quit entirely. Like,
how do they live?
I don't know, Miriam. I don't know. It's a great question. I have no idea. I don't know. And not even just like retail jobs and, you know, restaurant jobs and stuff like that. I read an article yesterday about how, you know, people in like white collar jobs. Am I allowed to say white collar anymore? Am I allowed to do that? It may be racist.
Great question.
It is a great question, right? It's totally racist. But in you know, jobs that are, you know, just like managerial and stuff like that, jobs out there, and you go out to LinkedIn and get yourself some those kind of jobs. People are just leaving. They're just quitting. They're like, well, you know, I just decided during COVID, I just don't want to work. I don't understand it.
They still have bills. I don't understand how people are doing this.
I don't either.
Is it the looting? Is that what's happening? They're just going and looting places and then they're set for a while?
I don't know. It's a very interesting, I don't know how people do it. Maybe people can tell us, because I'd like to have some tips on that. I don't understand. I don't.
I too would like.
That would be great.
Oh, do you want to watch? Let's watch this together, because I was watching this right before we went live today. I started to watch a little clip on Twitter, and it's actually a TikTok video from some chick that looks like a leftist. She's got green hair, and she is a person of some stature.
Okay.
And she's talking about fat phobia.
Oh, a being, person of some stature. Okay.
Right. A person of some heft, if you will.
Yeah, I got it.
She is trying to make the case. Now, again, I haven't heard this all the way through. I thought we could all listen to it together and then unpack and untangle.
Okay,
she's
here we go.
Trying to make the case that finding fat people unattractive is racist.
Okay.
Let me get this started. Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's your reminder that fat phobia is rooted in racism. As always, if you haven't read this book, go do that. The main thing to understand is that for the last 300-ish years, white folks have been marketing fatness as a black trait. And this is regardless of whether or not black people individually were actually fat. That was irrelevant. The message they spread was that black women specifically were ravenous and uncontrollable, and these barbaric traits made them fat. On the flip side, thinness was marketed as a white trait. Again, regardless of whether or not individual white people were actually thin, that was irrelevant. The idea was that white women specifically were refined and restrained, and this led them to having delicate, thin bodies. Over the years, these messages have become more subtle, but even today, they are still very prevalent in conversations around race, health, capitalism, and poverty.
Here's your what the hell is she talking about? What is she talking about?
When have we ever marketed black people as fat?
I don't remember that. I don't know. Somebody, she's going to see. Here's the thing. These people throw this crap out and they don't give examples. I need to see I need to see a list of examples. I want to see data. I want to see her show me green haired lady. I want to see. She's not. She's just saying this stuff. And then this is the thing. Liberals will see this and they'll be like, ah, that's right. Yeah. That's totally right. No, it's not right. She's just making this. She's making this crap up. It drives
what
me nuts.
What in the world?
I want to see the receipts, green-haired lady. I want to see the receipts.
Why do they always have green hair?
I don't know. And it's like, listen, pink is cute. Blue is even kind of cute. But green, it looks like you went swimming too much in summer. You know what I mean? Like, I buy my daughter like the chlorine, like the shampoo to get the chlorine out because she's trying to avoid that. I'm just putting that out there.
Fatness 300 years ago was considered a sign of wealth. You remember all the Rubenesque paintings?
Yeah.
Women were like lounging around with all kinds of rolls and jiggles and they were like being fed grapes. And that was like a good thing.
Yeah. But see, that would require her to look and read, like look at and read history, you guys. And she doesn't have any time for that.
Oh my gosh. People are completely bat crap.
Yeah,
holy
it is.
Cow.
It's insanity.
Okay, this guy he's just got a question for everybody.
Do you ever just wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and think, well, that can't be accurate?
Yes.
Yes.
I do all the time.
The answer is yes.
Yes. The answer is so yes. An emphatic yes.
Yeah, because sometimes, or just in photographs, right? Like you'll be pictured and you'll be thinking, oh, in my head, I'm like 35.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden you see a photo and you're like, oh, that's right.
Damn.
I'm not.
I know. I'm like, oh, damn my face. Oh, damn. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, everybody. Bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it in. Oh, you guys have a wonderful Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Democrats are flipping out over election integrity again, and the World Health Organization says it's stigmatizing to name COVID variants after the places they were found. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll deliver the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives and hopefully some laughs, too. Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch wherever you get your podcasts.